Hey, Pittsburgh. Welcome to From the Newsroom, TribLive's podcast bringing you top stories from TribLive.com. This episode, I'm joined by TribLive's Joyce Hands, a feature reporter covering the Pittsburgh region. We're going to dive into the nostalgia and loyalty surrounding the last Ponderosa Steakhouse in Pennsylvania. Joyce will walk us through the experience and explain why it holds such significance in the hearts and stomachs of locals and visitors alike. I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom. Good morning, Joyce. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. So tell me a little bit about the story. What first drew your attention to this story?
Well, in the newsroom, we're often talking about food. And one of my colleagues, veteran reporter Brian Rittmeyer, actually brought it up to me one day when we were discussing a lot of the all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant concepts and how many of these have fallen by the wayside, especially some beloved Pennsylvania chains that were once everywhere. And Brian mentioned, hey, you know, the last Ponderosa is in Butler County. And that really piqued my interest. I thought the readers would love it. And I just sort of tucked it away in my reporter bag of tricks.
Okay. So now tell us about Ponderosa. You decided to eventually pull this story out of your reporter bag of tricks and bring it to our readers. So tell us about the business.
Well, I'm from the South and I didn't grow up with Ponderosa, but it used to be everywhere. And it was such a popular steakhouse in Pennsylvania and beyond and nationwide. And evidently from people that I speak with that are Pennsylvanians, it was all about the all-you-could-eat buffet that came with the affordable steaks. So I did have to confirm that this was the last one. I had to do a little research. And after that, I pitched it to my editor and got a yes and planned to go there for the day.
Okay. So in your story, you tell us that the origin is that it's a Old West themed chain that was founded in 1969 and named after the Ponderosa Ranch from the long-running television series Bonanza. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the numbers. I see that obviously since this is the last one in Pennsylvania, the numbers have to have gone down some.
Yeah. So in its heyday during the 1990s, nationwide, there was about 700 Ponderosas. And then there was a decline. And there were down, it dwindled down to 300 in 2003. Now, currently, there are only 16 Ponderosas that you can giddy up to in America. And of course, our one left in Butler County near the Clearview Mall in Center Township.
So what was your process like reporting and gathering information for the story?
Well, I really didn't prepare except for I did reach out via Facebook to try to find the manager, the owner. We do that all the time as reporters. And I gave them a heads up on the day that I was going to come out and spend a couple hours. And fortunately, it made my job easy because they immediately responded back to me, welcomed me, said, come on out. And they seemed to be very excited about the assignment. So of course, that made my job all the more easier.
So while you were researching and reporting on this story, how did you go about capturing the nostalgia and significance of the Ponderosa and its patrons and employees?
Well, I did think about that. And so I knew this wouldn't be a quick turnaround. You know, some assignments, you may be there 20 minutes. I planned on going for several hours, sort of just parking myself in the corner with a cup of coffee or whatever, and just observing and, of course, hoping to interview customers. I mean, when I was there, I did get some no's. You know, not everyone wants to be interviewed, but I was probably there about 3 hours. And so it was fun to see the lunch rush. And there were a lot of senior citizens that day because every day, I believe, at this Butler location, the seniors get a discount. And of course, I was also able to work around the employees that were very busy, but to grab them for a few minutes for interviews. So I guess I was there about 3 to 4 hours.
Okay. In that time, were there any standout moments or anecdotes that you found that were interesting or that helped, that you think encapsulated the essence of the restaurant?
Well, there were two things that I noticed. The employees that I interviewed, everyone has been there a long time, decades, wow. Long time. So that told me, wow, you know, they're like a family and they were hugging. They definitely had that camaraderie. And it just spills over the customers coming in. It seems like they knew all their names. And it was definitely a local crowd. And I understand that the lunch crowd tends to be a little more retirees. And the evening crowd is a bit more, I guess, transient because a lot of people are working during the day. But my favorite interview was a sweet, sweet little married couple from Slippery Rock. And it was Richard and Mary Jane Fryman, and they've been married 59 years. And they were sitting at a booth. You know, I had to approach them in reporter mode. And they have been dining at this same Ponderosa since it opened. And it opened in the early 1980s. And they were thrilled. They actually didn't know that it was the last one. So that was sort of a good icebreaker. And I did photograph them and interviewed them, and I thought that was really sweet and a testament to the longevity of their repeat customers.
Right, absolutely. Throughout your story, we talk about the shrinking in the numbers and the shock and surprise of there being this last Ponderosa in Pennsylvania. What do you think could have been some of the challenges that brought Ponderosa's numbers down?
So I do know, I didn't do a deep dive for my story on this since I had a different angle, but there were some Chapter 11 bankruptcy filings back in the 90s, I believe. Also, the pandemic hit, and that was years without the all-you-can-eat buffets. So obviously, a lot of restaurants were impacted by that.
Right. When I was reading your story, I noticed that one thing that they touched on, that even through all of that, they survived, and one thing that stuck out was someone said that you can eat there cheaper than you can eat at McDonald's. And that is very possibly one of the reasons why this restaurant has lasted out there so long.
Right. So the manager talked about how for less than $12, I mean, you don't even have to get a steak. You can go in there and purchase the all-you-can-eat buffet, which is loaded. I mean, it's three different stations of dozens of different foods. And I definitely saw some people, you know, getting plenty of food that day. So obviously it's super affordable.
Since you brought up employees and managers, can you tell me about your experience interviewing them? I saw that you mentioned interviewing employees like Denise Morin and Melissa Troyan. Can you tell me about your experience interviewing them and what working at the last Ponderosa is like for them?
Well, the servers were fantastic. They really, a shout out to the Ponderosa servers because they made my job easy. They were on board. They were participatory. They were answering questions. They were pointing out regulars such as the Frymans from Slippery Rock. So that just helped me so I didn't have to go up to all the tables and give them my reporter spiel. Overwhelming consensus was they all just said, this is a family. We're happy. We get along. We look out for each other. And they don't want to go anywhere else. And they could work a lot of other places. One server lives an hour away.
Wow.
And she said, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth to drive in because the tips are great and this is my family. So it definitely was a very warm and welcoming environment. And I didn't know what to expect, but that's what I learned.
Did they talk about, when you questioned them about like the, just how long that it's been there, what did they have to say about that?
Well, they knew. So because they were longstanding employees, many of them knew that they were the last Ponderosa because they have bragging rights and people are taking selfies out in the parking lot. And it's a little bit of a social media destination. So they get a kick out of that and they're proud of it. There's a pride factor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So interviewing in this specific area with restaurants has been something that has been a little bit more familiar to you lately. Can you tell me a little bit about another story that you were writing?
Yeah, so I love food. I love covering food and beverage. And a topical beat often for me is the restaurant industry. So I recently had a feature on dining etiquette and server secrets, like what your server wants you to know. And I went to 5 or 6 restaurants and spoke with restaurant professionals on what they were hopeful that the general dining public would know. And
wow, nice. So back into this story, let's talk a little bit about the community impact. Can you share some insights into how the restaurant impacts its patrons over the years?
Well, the number one thing they talked about was how people want to go to this Ponderosa because it is famous, it's getting more famous, for whatever it's worth. It's a social media destination. And it's a bit of a Pennsylvania pop culture in the restaurant world. So they have embraced it. They have it on their social media that they advertise that they're the last Ponderosa. And it definitely brings the folks out and people talk about it. And they have people come from New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Erie. There's some customers that will drive from Erie because the Ponderosa closed in Erie, which is about an hour and a half away every day or every other day. So they're just amazed at how people road trip to get to the Ponderosa.
It's a real destination.
Yes.
Are there any more memorable stories or interactions that you had while you were interviewing at the last Ponderosa?
Well, what I did enjoy was just a lot of the off the record stuff that I couldn't use because not everyone wanted to be photographed. And of course, I have to be respectful. People are dining and trying to enjoy their lunch without me invading. So I really enjoyed just a lot of the conversations and hearing everything on things that I couldn't put in my story, but it still helped for the color and the background. And the regular customers, the one gentleman that brings his wife there every day, that's their lunch routine. And off the record, he shared with me that she had a little bit of some medical needs and how Ponderosa just helped him out because they could come every day and have lunch and, you know, he didn't have to cook. So he's in my story as well. And he sort of joked like, well, they can't close because I don't know how to cook.
Wow. That's very, very interesting. So as we start to wrap up here, let's talk a little bit about looking to the future. With the information that you gained from your reporting, do you think that Ponderosa will still be here for a while?
I do. I asked the manager, and it's in my story, you know, how busy are y'all and how's business? And she says it's great. I think their notoriety obviously helps and the affordability and the fact that it's been there since the 80s. And she says it's very common for them to serve almost 1,000 customers.
Wow.
On a Saturday. And on a Sunday, they'll get 600, 700 customers. So she said they're doing just great. So I think they're going to be around.
Amazing. Well, Joyce, thank you so much for joining me to talk about the Pennsylvania Ponderosa's last frontier.
Thanks, Zach.
More feature and lifestyle articles, Bleed Black and Gold with Pittsburgh's Yinzerfest performers in Thursday's Q&A, and Death Cab for Cutie drummer Jason Majere talks about the latest touring experience ahead of the band's May 2nd show at the Peterson Event Center in Oakland. For these and more stories, check out triblive.com. Once again, I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom.